We've been talking on the radio, and I've heard the commercials too here that, you know, North Dakotans, we're some hardworking people here, but the problem is the state gets paid before you do, and that income tax money takes that money out of your hand before you even see it. So you guys are raising awareness of this, and this is one of your big pushes here in 2026 in advance of the next legislative session. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing and why this is an issue that you've landed on.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, this is just an important issue for folks that want to go out and live their version of the American dream, right? You work hard, you should keep more of your hard-earned money, right? And that is the principle here. And this isn't something new or radical, Steve. Many states have no income tax, right? So if you want to continue to be competitive, and North Dakota wants to continue to rise up that, you know, we've got to eliminate our income tax for corporate businesses and eliminate our income taxes for individuals so we can go out there and be more competitive with our surrounding states. So there's absolutely no reason that North Dakota shouldn't be number one in this area. And we're not talking about, you know, a large dollar figure here, Steve. This is, you know, something that can be done in North Dakota without affecting, you know, the general services that people are used to receiving.
So how many states do this, go without a state income tax? How many are there out there? Do we know?
Currently nine, but there's many other states across the country that are working on it right now. And there's a couple other states that have started a path to zero. And North Dakota, you know, we started, taking down our income tax rates a couple of times over the last, you know, years, right? So you're really talking down to, it's a very modest, you know, 2.5%, you know, for that top tax rate. So, but eliminating that is not a big dollar figure for our state. You know, and then obviously there's the bureaucracy of having to enforce that tax, right? And then there is the economic growth that we will get, right? So it does not mean that that's a lost, you know, revenue generator, right? Because people have more money in their pockets, they're out spending it. And there's, of course, other taxes on their sales taxes and they're expensing from more of their hard earned money. And it encourages that growth. And as well as, you know, businesses that may move here because we have zero income taxes. We've seen some of our neighbors get some businesses that have that have gone that, you know, whether that be South Dakota or Wyoming. You know, you want to be competitive with your friends and neighbors. I mean, we want to be one of the top listings according to, you know, some of the different tax groups out there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to be first.
Yeah.
You like to be first, Steve?
Yes.
Let's go get in the top 10 here. There's absolutely not a reason to make this happen. And I don't hear a lot of arguments against it, right? So let's get this going and let's get this passed in the next legislative session.
So here's the story, friends. The nine states without income tax, state income tax: Alaska, Nevada, New Hampshire, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, Wyoming. Although Washington does have, if you make enough money, they do have something. So they're not quite at zero for everybody there. But also in that group, couple of states that are of note to me: Florida, which I still say is the freest state in the country, and then South Dakota, which might be number two. So we got our neighbor, and we want to be like Florida because everybody wants to move to Florida. The weather might have something to do with that, but Florida, great state to live and do business in. And then South Dakota, our neighbors to the south, they don't have income taxes either. On the other side of it, if you want to take a look at, you know, where they're getting hit pretty good here, it doesn't take far to go to see Minnesota. They're at 9.85, plus a 1% surtax on people that make a lot of money. So we've got an opportunity. I mean, South Dakota right now is kind of setting the pace here. And like you said, if we can't be first, maybe we can at least catch up.
Yeah, let's at least try to get into the top 10 here, Steve.
I would say that. So yeah, Minnesota, one of the worst. So if Minnesota's bad, let's be better here on the North Dakota side and give people a real reason to, you know, kind of move across the line and get that done there. So, and what we're talking about here is, like you said, it's not a ton of money. Still, it would have to be replaced somehow, right? I mean, every dollar that the state government gets comes in handy for the state government to do what it does. So it would require a few things from the legislature on the spending side of things, too. How punitive do you think that would be to the people of North Dakota with the spending cuts that would have to happen?
I think very minimal, Steve. I don't really think there would be a lot of cuts because you could figure in some of that economic growth that's there, right? There's obviously the bureaucracy of the number of FTEs in the tax department that are, you know, running this income tax and all the paperwork and all the stuff that goes with that. So you've got some things to easy to eliminate there from a, you know, from a growth perspective. So I think you're, again, those numbers become, you know, very minimal. But the other thing, Steve, here is, and this is something that, you know, needs addressing as well, is, you know, North Dakota budget, you know, per capita, right? We're pretty high,
yes,
right?
We
you
are.
Know, we have seen an unbelievable growth in the size of our state government over the past few years. Again, look to our neighbors to ourselves, bigger state, much smaller state budget, right? Much more people in population, right? You know, I think, you know, addressing this also helps, you know, curb some of the ability to for the state to, you know, not always just come to the end of the legislative session and spend more money, right? I mean, can we also use this as a tool to say, hey, we don't, this isn't available anymore to continue to go back to the taxpayer and slow that growth of spending that the state government has had, right? I mean, it's another check on that bloated bureaucracy that we see in government.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't mean any offense to anybody that works in it, right? All these institutions just by their design are like set up to grow, right? Imagine what would happen and what would happen to our economy if everybody in the state knew their taxes were going to go down every year, right? From a business perspective, what would your investment be here if you knew your business, my taxes are going down every year, I can invest more in people, I can invest more in the community. So tremendous opportunity here to continue to change a trajectory, you know, of the state of North Dakota. And this is just one great tool in the toolbox that we can get going on now because it makes sense.
Back when we were having the Measure 4 debate about the property taxes, I said at the time that I was one of the few, probably people that followed a lot of this stuff that said, I think we can do this. I think we should try to do this. And so I'd hope that it would go through. And I made the point at that time that every once in a while, you have to kind of get that jolt to your system. And we've all had it on our personal finances. You know, your car goes in for a big repair or you lose a job or whatever might happen. You lose a source of income. And all of a sudden, crap, what are we going to do? We're going to have to make some changes here and do some things that are not fun. But we've all had to do it individually. But in government, we never seem to do that. And having something like this feels to me like it's kind of a nice sweet spot here because, yes, it's kind of a shock to say, okay, we're going to get rid of personal income taxes, but it's not the kind of money where you say, oh, how could the state ever do without this? It's probably a little easier to pill to swallow than what Measure 4 would have been.
Absolutely, right? We're talking about, you know, $360-odd million for the income tax, maybe up to, you know, $400 to $500, $600, you know, the corporate income tax, depending upon the way that those calculated here. So those aren't huge numbers in our current state budget of, you know, over $20 billion. And let's hope we never get any higher than that, Steve.
Yeah. Yep. And I think too that, and another thing I said about Measure 4 back when that was going on, I said, hey, if you want to really recruit people to come to this state, let's do something where people are going to go, whoa, like there's no property taxes on my house in North Dakota, and of course that didn't go through, but this is another opportunity. If we want to have people, we know everyone, workforce is an issue everywhere. How about being that one state that could do something special? And here you could say, well, we're one of only 10 states. So why do we not want to do that to keep our people here, bring more people here? It could be a great recruiting tool.
Absolutely, right? I think sometimes people, government, right, get people together and they tend to look for a government solution. Right. Instead of thinking outside the box and say, OK, here's a maybe very helpful solution that helps our whole state, does a bunch of things like, you know, you can spend all the money you want on workforce initiatives, but more money in people's pockets for working hard makes the bigger difference.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. It does. I would think for a business, too. So we talk about, you know, the state recruiting people here, but for businesses as well, you know, geez, think if Shields brings somebody in for your border states or whatever, bring somebody in and says, hey, you know, we'd like to hire you to come to work for us. And, oh, by the way, no state income tax here. I think these are great recruiting tools. This has got to be good for business, too. We don't think about that right away. But it's got to be great for the business sector here in our state to be thinking about being able to offer this to their people that are bringing them in.
Absolutely. You know, all the folks in economic development that are recruiting those businesses and recruiting those businesses to come locate here, what an unbelievable tool for the business itself and then for their employees. I mean, it's a double win, right, mm-hmm. for them. And, you know, we've seen, you know, more and more businesses look at North Dakota. We've seen some of them go south. Why not have them, you know, be on an even playing field with our neighbor to the south? If you're especially with what we've trying to been doing in this state the last few years and, you know, value-added agriculture and some of those types of things. I've, you know, there's been a couple of businesses that have just announced recently that are in the ag sector that are coming here, right? Let's continue that momentum and give some more people a reason to come to North Dakota.
I like it. So you're pushing this here in 2026. Talk about the timing a little bit. Why is this a conversation you want to start now?
Well, you know, Steve, obviously, you know, North Dakota, we're one of the few organizations that works on this stuff full time,
right? You know, there's a number of groups or other organizations that maybe might be involved in the legislative process, but, you know, in order to do things the right way when you've got this legislature that meets, you know, every other year, right? We've got to get into, if we want to pass great policy in the legislative session, it can't be, hey, show up on middle of January, introduce a bill, and think you're going to get things done, right? You know, we've got to work, you know, throughout this year to build momentum with the people. We've got a number of legislators who are very interested in this, you know, legislation being written, you know, so there's a lot of steps to make place to make sure that, you know, when the session starts, you've done all your homework, you've done all the job, you've had all the arguments, and you can go ahead and, you know, hopefully be signing a bill with the governor, you know, in early January or February and take some of these issues off the table, and they can get back to, you know, arguing about other things that they, you know, you don't want these things to come down to the last day of the session. You want to be able to just pass good policy that everybody is united on and get it done.
Dana's on the line, wants to give a call in on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Dana, what's your question for Justin?
Yeah, good morning, Justin and Steve, everybody else. If you take these taxes away, what is your plan to replace them? And you know, if you do the same thing we've been doing, it's not going to do anything good.
Okay, thanks, Dana, for giving a call. So how do we replace the money?
Well, again, I think we touched on it already, right? You're going to see some savings from the bureaucracy. You're going to see some savings from MNOP growth, and you're going to see some savings from just not growing the overall size of government here. I don't think you're going to lose any essential services by eliminating the income tax in North Dakota.
You're just going to have to say no to something. I mean, that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah,
but we all
correct.
Do it, right? We do it in business. We do it in our homes. We do it with our families.
I mean, Steve, you know the number of bills that come in, you know, 1,000 bills in North Dakota, most of them all have to do with asking the state government for money.
For
right?
money, yeah.
And if we just say no to a few more of those folks that are there with their hand out and said, you know what, we're going to take care of your problem by eliminating the income tax, solves that issue right there.